this is a translation. The citizens of the state of Maharaj Ambarish were accustomed to chanting and hearing about the glorious activities of the personality of Godhead. Thus, they never aspired to be elevated to the heavenly planets, which are extremely dear to even to the demigods. Please repeat. The citizens of the state of Maharaj Ambarish were accustomed to chanting and hearing about the glorious activities of the personality of Godhead. Thus they never aspired to be elevated to the heavenly planets, which are extremely dear even to the demigods. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A pure devotee who has been trained in the practice of chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord and his fame, qualities, form, paraphernalia, and so on, is never interested in elevation to the heavenly planets, even though such places are extremely dear, even to the demigods. Narayana prasarve nakutaschana bhipyate svaga pavaga narakesh apituliata dashina. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, never fear any condition of life. The heavenly planets' liberation and the hellish planets are all the same to a devotee. Bhagavatam 6:17:28. A devotee is always situated in the spiritual world. Therefore, he does not desire anything. He is known as akama, or desireless, because he has nothing to desire except to render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because Maharaj Ambarish was a most exalted devotee of the Lord, he trained his subjects in such a way that the citizens in his state were not interested in anything material, even the happiness of the heavenly planets. Om Jnana Timanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksusun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Syadvaita Garadha Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this subject matter is how we can overcome material desires, or the fact that devotional service is so wonderful that a devotee gives up material desires. He doesn't even want to go to the heavenly planets. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that those who worship the demigods for material rewards are less intelligent. So generally, the conditioned soul in the bodily concept of life, he's after sense gratification and happiness. And the Vedas describe many fruitive activities, semi-spiritual pious activities, by what one can become elevated to heaven. And this is the idea of mundane spiritualists, that by nature we enjoy sense gratification. So in the heavenly planets, the sense gratification is even nicer. So let us all go there. Let us practice religion to go to heaven and enjoy paradise. Or even we could blow ourselves up and attain paradise, because it's pretty fantastic there. But for the devotees, this material sense gratification is actually the cause of misery. In the 11th canto, there's a verse that says Krishna, he doesn't give his devotees material opulence, even in this planet, the lower planets, or the heavenly planets. He's not inclined to give his devotees such opulence. And the reason is, the opulence causes you all sorts of anxiety. And we see in the material world, very wealthy people, they're full of anxiety. And even semi-wealthy people who are trying to increase their wealth, all they do is increase their anxiety. One of the qualities of someone who has wealth is belligerence, envy, fear. Belligerence means, does anyone know? Belligerence means a type of arrogance. You become proud and angry towards others. Just like a lot of people, they go into business with another person. And they think, right now, he's got money, I've got money. We join our money together, we can make more profit. And what happens after some time, they fight. Then they go to the court, litigation, mitigation. And the only people who are happy are the solicitors and the lawyers. They're very happy. So they created a system, very complicated social system. Whereas the lawyers, they make the money. Out of your misery, someone else becoming happy. So Krishna is not inclined to give. We see that Bharat Maharaj, he was the emperor of the whole planet. He had incredible opulence. But he was so advanced in Krishna consciousness that he gave it up. It is said he gave it up just like we leave the bathroom with no attachment. Flush, go. So he just didn't think of this material world as any significance. And why is that? Shravanadi Shudachiti Sabukabhainoi. That the soul is actually Krishna conscious eternally. In the spiritual world, there's no anxiety, there's no mitigation, litigation, or misery. So by Shravanam, Kirtanam, one is awakening spiritual life. Prabhupada said that the theistic realization that one gets from chanting Hare Krishna enthralls the devotee. He becomes enthralled and he wants to, he attains like a desire to attain Krishna. So this is our whole program. Prabhupada mentions this word akama in the purport, which means desireless. So our whole program of Krishna consciousness is actually to make people devotees, first of all. Bhagavatam says, akama savakama va moksha kama udadati tivrena bhakti yogena para yajate purusham param. We tell people, it's not very easy to convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead straight away. It takes time for them to understand, isn't it? You don't just go up and say, oh, your spirit soul, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, is that right? Brilliant. You know, it doesn't happen like that. Maybe to some people. But generally, it takes time. People come around the Krishna consciousness movement, takes much time. And actually, you see, some people that come to the temple for 10 years, they take darshan, but they still don't get that they can have a relationship with Krishna and end their material existence. Krishna himself speaks this verse in Krishna books, in the 10th canto. Krishna speaks this verse. I heard this verse for years. It was Mahajyoti's favorite verse, our temple president in Surrey Street. He was always complaining on festival days. I don't like festivals. He liked regulation. And the festivals he thought was a bit of a... he was funny. So our festivals are, you know, they interrupt your schedule. You've got a fast body, austere, but there's some deep ecstasy and intensity. So you're all still enthusiastic this morning, so you must have had a great time. So Krishna says, one who identifies himself as the inert body composed of mucus, bile, and air, who assumes his wife and family are permanently his own, who thinks an earthen image or the land of his birth is worshipable, or who sees a place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, but who never identifies himself with, feels kinship with, or worships, or even visits those who are wise in spiritual truth, such a person is no better than a cow or ass. So, this... it's a heavy verse, but actually, sometimes the verses in the Shastra, they're very heavy, and to make us more introspective, make us really try to understand. So then you come to the festival, you'll see, if you come as a visitor to the temple, you'll see children and wives, and it all looks fantastic. It all looks normal, like social life, family life. We have a lot of family life. We encourage family life, actually, pious family life, as a basis of practicing Krishna consciousness, as opposed to anarchistic social life that they promote today. So the business, why is this? How have we got nice family, nice ladies dressed nicely, children everywhere? So the devotee, he remembers Krishna, and he can, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that he can actually make spiritual progress from any position. I'm kind of going off my point here, but for example, we are fortunate because we have this facility to remember Krishna, because we know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the famous verse, Prasangam Ajaram Pasham Atmano Kavaye Vidu Sa Eva Saduso Krito Moksha Dwaram Upavritam. Prabhupada says that in that verse, that a sadhu is one who has complete conviction that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sometimes we may preach to someone, they say, oh, I want to achieve this and achieve that. And we say to them, oh, pray to Krishna, he'll help you achieve your material desire. Happened to me recently, I was trying to cultivate some people, and she says, oh, I really want to find a husband, settle down. I said, pray to Krishna. She came to me 3 weeks later, she said, after coming to the temple, I prayed to Krishna, now I've met someone, and I'm happy. So then her faith in Krishna increases. So if they get this idea that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then they can begin the process of devotional service, you see? For example, Prabhupada, there's this verse in the Bhagavatam which describes, it's a description of Vaikuntha when the Kumaras are entering the beautiful realm of Vaikuntha. And the verse says that persons who are very unfortunate, no it doesn't, it says, it is very unfortunate that persons in the material world do not discuss the spiritual realm. And I expected Prabhupada in the purport to start talking about, oh, we're always thinking of material things, television, newspapers, material, but Prabhupada didn't say that at all. Prabhupada said, the impersonalists have no ability to think of the spiritual world, think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So our war isn't really, we have a war, right, against illusory energy. Prabhupada uses that terminology. Our struggle to preach the Vedic religion or the Vedic movement of Lord Chaitanya is to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that the spiritual world is variegated, that there is a personality of Godhead. Because wherever you go, everyone is impersonalist. They have no idea of the spiritual variety, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And like I said, we cannot impose that upon them straight away. It takes time to understand that. So Namaste Shunyavadi, Prabhupada's pranam mantra, second mantra, is to fight voidism and impersonalism. So Prabhupada says that this training, in the verse it's mentioned, that the people in Maharaj Ambarish's kingdom, they were trained in devotional service. So in the 19th chapter of Bhagavatam, there's a verse, Brahmananda Guru Bhakti Lata Beej. So Prabhupada explains what this Bhakti Lata Beej is. I just read it from the purport. He says that the Bhakti Lata Beej contains the training by the spiritual master in the hearing, chanting, and worshipping of Krishna. Have I lost my thread? Yeah, here it is. The word Guru Krishna Prasad indicates the spiritual master is very merciful in bestowing the boon of devotional service upon the disciple. Thus, the spiritual master trains his disciples to render devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This is called Guru Kripa. By the mercy of Krishna, one meets a bona fide spiritual master, and by the mercy of the spiritual master, the disciple is fully trained in the devotional service of the Lord. Bhakti Lata Beej means the seed of devotional service. The methods, rules, and regulations by which one is perfectly trained in the devotional service constitute the Bhakti Lata Beej, or the seed of devotional service. So the Guru gives a seed of devotional service. Krishna says he's the seed of all life. And the spiritual master, he gives a seed of the life of devotional service. And if we water that seed through hearing and chanting, that seed will grow. So we have to have confidence in that. A lot of the times I hear this devotees sometimes say, oh, we can know Prabhupada, but we can't know Krishna. And it sounds, on face value, it sounds, oh yeah, you just do everything, serve Prabhupada. But Prabhupada wrote 64 volumes to teach us about Krishna. So to say that we don't know what is Krishna is actually not correct. All Prabhupada does is teach us about Krishna. Krishna says, think of me. Meditate upon me. So, devotional service is there in the heart, and by chanting and hearing, these are the activities which will grow that seed into a beautiful flower that will reach Krishna's lotus feet. They asked me to give Bhagavad Gita class a couple of weeks ago. So I came in for class at 7:30, and it was packed. You know, there was like 200 people. On the lead up to Janmashtami, the summer, everyone, it was packed. It was a midweek, a Tuesday or Wednesday. So then I sat down to give Bhagavad Gita class, and then everyone left. There was only 3 people left in the temple room. And I met one nice man. He's been chanting 16 rounds, but his wife she's a materialist, and she gives him a hard time, burns his books, destroys his books. I says, you tried to come for morning program, the devotees of the weekend. He says, I can't. My wife will find out. I can only come in the evening after work. She doesn't know. So he comes in the evening, chants, and gets some association. I says, maybe he's in reaching his late 50s. I says, maybe you can join the ashram. I says, leave it as an option, yeah? So people take up chanting Hare Krishna. People associate with devotees, and gradually, by hearing little bits, gradually they'll understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when they do that, akama sava kamava, doesn't matter where they are, who they are, what status of life they're in, if they're sinful, non-sinful, they understand Krishna's God, and understand that the soul is an eternally perfect, pure servant of God when it can liberate himself from the material world, then they can become extremely fortunate. Bhagyavan. Bhagyavan. So our movement is so wonderful that we're making everyone fortunate. Not everyone, but we're trying to make everyone fortunate. And it's spreading very nicely, Krishna consciousness, actually. If you read Dandavats, you'll see all over the world it's going on. Kirtan, street festivals, Rathyatras. Now Cuba is the latest place where there's devotees. So after 100-300 years, Krishna consciousness movement will be. Sukadev was saying yesterday, Prabhu in his offering to Prabhupada, how it's a prophecy. It will happen. Great personalities will come. It will build. There was one devotee from Russia who said that when the communism fell, there was no reason for it. It was just stirring in people's consciousness for a long, long time. And then overnight, practically, communism fell. Very fast. So if we build up a certain momentum, Krishna consciousness can, you know, there can be a revolution overnight. And another, we mentioned about anxiety and material anxiety caused by chasing opulence. Krishna says, Bhogashvariya Prasaktanam. If one is too attached to wealth and material sense enjoyment, it's not possible to become fixed in devotional service. And then there's so many spiritualists. I was just reading the CC first chapter, one purport. Prabhupada says, common spiritualists cannot understand the personality of Godhead and devotional service. So there are a lot of spiritual people, religious people, but they cannot understand Krishna without association of devotees. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Al Akela Ashanta. Even the great yogis, the great fruitive workers, the people after liberation, they all desire something. The yogi desires mystic powers, the Brahmavadi desires liberation, and the Kami desires sense gratification. But they're not peaceful. But devotee is peaceful because he desires Krishna's service. The living entity cannot be without desire. Prabhupada says that material attachment is a symptom of consciousness. Attachment is a symptom of consciousness. So you can prasangam, you can be attached to material things, or you can be attached to spiritual things. There's no middle ground. So all these people trying to meditate on the light, on nothingness, on oneness, on the energy, on the love, they'll all become bewildered. So the devotional service is kripa, the seed, the growing flower. Its ultimate goal is attachment to the lotus feet of Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. Srila Rupa Goswami gives the essence of Krishna consciousness. It's mentioned in this purport in the beginning that the citizens of Maharaj Ambarish, they were so attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes. This is the secret, most confidential secret of all Vedic knowledge. Iti guyatamam shastram. Evam asamudo janati purusottam. That's Krishna's the supreme, all-attractive personality of Godhead. So Rupa Goswami says, this is the last thing I'll say now, the essence of all advice is that one should hear, chant, and remember Krishna in his charitadi, his beautiful qualities, pastimes, his abode, his associates, and one should think of them, nicely chant, 24 hours a day. So we're not able to do that so much, but we can aspire for it. And because we're preaching, we'll get a lot of mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can one day sit and think of Krishna and be very happy and attracted, and no longer attracted to sense gratification, liberation, or mystic powers, or to be some big person in the material world, big enjoyer, subtle or gross. This is the perfection of life, to be attracted to Krishna, maya sakta. You have to be attached, attracted. So you're either attracted to material or you're attracted to spiritual. Spiritual means service to Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates. He is an ocean, Akila Asamrita Murti, is an ocean of nectar. The whole Vedic information, literature, is to bring the mind to the lotus feet of Krishna, where one will get nectar. There was one thing I was going to say more. We discussed approaching Krishna for material desires, and Krishna, it says that Krishna will fulfill your desire materially, but he won't keep fulfilling. If you keep going back for more, once you get it once, then he'll stop, and he'll may take everything away, and in return he'll give you Padapalavam, the nectar of his lotus feet. And then you'll become happy. Jai. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Is there any comments or questions?